Okay.
Everybody settled? Butts planted in chairs?
Yep.
Kinda sorta.
Okay.
This is Jeremiah Says. I'm the director of Silence, and I'm here with the Comet Pop Library.
I run a smooth operation out here. I pick the jobs, you pick the lots. We pick up the prize together. That's a routine. You need me to think about that woman of yours and that little pretty girl of yours. Now, you've been casing that family's house for months. You think the family is going out of town? You found the safe. Now, what was that request of yours?
We settled tonight.
Welcome to another episode of Comic Popcorn Movies, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with...
And Jonathan.
And Logan.
And today we are going to be discussing The Collector. And I kind of did this one when Jonathan mentioned a different movie, and I thought he mentioned this one. But there's a reasonable reason why I got confused. Because he was a little confused when he got back in touch with me. And we'll explain that all here in a bit, but we'll let Jonathan give us the details on The Collector.
Okay, so The Collector came out in 2009 when the Chase family moves to an isolated house in the middle of nowhere in Detroit. Arkin is hired to fix the windows in the doors. Later, he meets his daughter and his wife that has a debt with dangerous sharks and needs money. And now, I'm going to correct this real quick because I
they're
want
sharks,
to point
not actual
out
sharks.
Exactly. That's what I was getting ready to say. I want to point out that they're loan sharks, not actual sharks. If you get into debt with actual sharks, they're not going to want money back. They're just going to want to chop down on you. But anyway.
I'm being picky on the description. Okay.
But his weak payment is not enough to pay her debts. Arkin plots to heist the safe of Michael Chase during the night to raise the necessary money. However, when he arrives in the house, he finds out a sadistic criminal has imprisoned the family and planted traps everywhere. Arkin seeks a way out of the deadly house to save his life.
And there you go. And the confusion came. Jonathan was wanting us to watch The Collection, evidently, which is
the second movie.
And
which I actually am thinking of trying to see if I can find The Collection somewhere to watch.
Well, I have it. I mean, I've got to find it, but I have it.
Oh, nice.
But did you realize that was the sequel, though?
I did not. I thought it was just a complete... Because, I mean, they don't really go into... Like, when I've watched it the first time, they don't really go into too much detail to where I didn't think that there was a second movie. I thought it was an individual movie.
Uh-huh.
So, it's like... okay, well, now that I know that there was a first movie and this is a second movie, and I mean, they weren't made too far apart. One was made in 2009 and the other one was made in, I believe, 12, 13.
Somewhere in there. Seems like that's right.
So they weren't made too far apart, which, I mean, if you look at it, sequels aren't...
Yeah, they can either be a year or two apart.
A year or two apart, or 3 or 4 years apart. But it's not anything that's natural for them to be that long separated. But like I said, when I watched Collection, it was 2012?
Yep.
Okay, so when I watched it, I mean, it didn't have...
Much of a connection. Okay.
But
the trailer looked like it fairly connected, but yeah, whatever.
Well, that's the trailer, though.
Yeah. Who knows what the actual movie and turned out.
The confusion for me came in because I might have heard Collection, but when I watched this on Hulu, so when I typed it in, it came up Collector.
Yeah. And it doesn't have Collection on Hulu.
And I looked at the poster, and it's like, okay, that's it, because it has the guy facing away, tying his mask behind him, and it had a house. So I was like, okay, that's it. That's the one we talked about at the library. And then Jonathan contacted me before the record. He's like, are we on the same page? And then I looked at the poster for the Collection, and it's almost the exact same poster, except it's like the tube, test tube.
Yeah, deal with a and it's got like a yellow background to it, and the other one had like a bluish background to it
with a person in a big test tube type tank. So yeah, but otherwise it's the exact same poster with the person facing away, tying his mask on. So
somebody just got a Facebook message.
That's my bad.
The main character of this movie is a bit of a Determinator, I think is the word. Determinator?
Determinator?
Yeah. What do you mean? Yeah.
Doesn't matter what pain you go put me through, I am doing this.
Right. I don't know if that would be... I mean, I think you just created a word.
No, I think that's actually a word that's been used before, Determinator.
I don't know.
So anyways, like, I know there is a word for it. I'm pretty sure that's it. I'm not sure exactly.
Well, they're stubborn, bullheaded.
Anyway, we're not here to talk about words. We're here to talk about a movie. Yep. The Collector starts out. It's like a grindhouse movie, basically. And I can't remember if the people that produced it or directed it somehow are in conjunction with the Saw movies. So there's your tie.
I don't know if they are, but this is kind of what...
No, they are.
Are they? Okay.
I read it on IMDb that it's either the producer or the director has, you know, they also did the Saw stuff. So, and it's very similar.
You see all the traps.
No, it's not. You see, that's what actually...
I like how the guy went through them, though. After the first couple of traps, he found them and he avoided them.
True.
And sometimes used them to his own advantage.
But I think that's kind of what drew me to this film, because I like movies like Saw. Mm-hmm. I like movies like Hostel. So this movie was just kind of in my wheelhouse of movies to enjoy.
It's what I commonly call torture porn. Kind of like what I say.
Yeah, there's space, a bit of that, but...
You know, when we talk about Star Trek, the motion picture where you go across... You see the
Starship one?
The Enterprise, and it's slow, and it's there. That's Starship porn. This is torture porn. And that's legit. They actually say Hostile and those types is torture porn, because it got that name because it's just gruesome, brutal, bloody. It's
like, I think sometimes it's shortened to Gorn, I think. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
A mixture of gore and porn.
But yeah.
Well, whatever it is, I love it. Like, these are my wheelhouse films. Like anything that has to do with Saw, Hostel, The Collector, The Collection. It's just, I don't know. It's entertaining to me. It might not be so entertaining to other people, but
I like it when there's at least someone going through it competently, like the Arkin was in this one.
Right. I agree with
getting
you there.
Through
just
that.
People. Just being able to get through. And,
avoiding traps, setting up traps for the one who set all the traps. Yeah.
And see, like, I had to agree with something that you said. I'm not going to actually say it the way that you said it. But when he first got into that house and he first started realizing that there were traps being set, he tried escaping in one of the house from one of the windows, and the window fell right down on his head, on his hand, and like he did not scream out like some people would.
There was like fish hooks in his hands later on that he just ripped out.
And it was just like, it was not like, even when he put that phone to his ear, it got stabbed in the ear.
Yep.
Yeah. It was just like, he didn't scream out. He didn't say anything.
He knew the guy was in the house.
Right. He knew that.
Yeah.
So that's why I was keeping quiet. If he didn't know the guy was in the house, I don't know. Because that's a precept that you don't know about. He is a tough character, yes. But he knew the guy was in the house where other people that were in there probably didn't know. And that's one question.
Well, did he know from the very beginning that first trap that he caught in?
Because he didn't know there were any traps.
He didn't know there were any traps until he heard the guy come in.
Then he, I can't remember which one he avoided, but he saw it and then started to avoid it. But he tried to get out that window, and that's what Jonathan was describing. He caught that one, or the phone was the first one, I guess, that got him.
Yeah.
And then he went to the window. To begin with, the other people in the house had to be captured before the traps were set. And then I have a question of time frame. He leaves like late evening.
Actually, it does.
And goes back probably, give me a moment here. He goes back late at night. Doesn't really say, but probably a little after midnight.
Well, before midnight, because that's literally his deadline.
That's true. So it even makes it more improbable to me. How did all those traps, and especially the fish line, get strewn throughout the house in that time?
I don't know.
He had to capture the family and then set the traps.
You're forgetting something. Who was the killer? He was part of the people who were killing all the insects in the house. So.
All these traps were had to be laid afterwards because the family would have seen the traps during the day.
Well, they probably weren't in there because it was getting fumigated or whatever.
No, they were there at the very end of the day. They were getting ready to leave, and they were packing up to go. So they would have seen all those.
Oh, good point.
So that, to me, is a little bit of improbability that you have to suspend belief. Yeah, because
tea party in the gal's room.
Yeah.
See, this is how I saw it. Because when he was moving around, I think that he was probably setting traps as he was moving around. But still, there is an improbability of him doing that
like
as
the
well.
Like acid floor.
Because... Like if
all
you
those bear traps,
all those I know, line. But like
it's like
you know, even when he
Home
entered
Alone
the house,
times 10,
you didn't see any traps. What
Home Alone times 10?
No, definitely. Think about it. Think about it. Horror spin on Home Alone,
right?
It's almost that way, anyways. It just doesn't
I'm
have
sorry.
The blood.
Didn't mean to interrupt you, but when he said that, this just went through my head. I was like, oh my god, just a completely spin on.
Well, I mean, like he does have a point because as the robbers were going into the house, Kevin was setting the traps.
Yeah.
So
including a lawnmower to the face, and one of them at least.
Huh?
Mm? Third one has someone get his hair cut by a lawnmower going right over his head.
Where was that at?
Third Home Alone movie.
Oh, we're talking about Collector now.
Well, he was talking about Kevin, which was
talking about when.
Okay, you guys are still on Home Alone. I was going back to Collector. I'm sorry. Okay. Wow.
I was trying to tie them
distracted
in.
Somehow.
I was trying to tie them both in together.
Okay, gotcha.
Sorry.
But his traps were done, and the progression. These were so intricate. And that's like the dining room, all that fishing line. It was all over the place.
Yeah.
All those bear traps, the chandeliers with knives. I could see that one possibly. Because most people will not pay attention there if they're used to the house.
The
windowsill, I could see.
Yeah.
Bear traps, no. He could have them in his van and pull them all in.
But the thing is,
that would be pretty simple.
You could probably tell that they were done.
Were intricate.
They were done as he was going because it was kind of a little bit sloppy. It was a little too obvious. So, I mean...
There was all the cutting wires that he...
Right,
that one
but it was still kind of obvious.
Oh, yeah.
So you could tell that he was setting them as he was going through the house. But, like you said, there's an improbability to it.
Yeah, that's one where I had to suspend belief because throughout the whole thing, it's like, man, these are too intricate. Somebody would have seen something or bumped into something earlier. And plus, with him going through the house the first time, not tripping off any, you attribute that to just dumb luck. That's all you can do. Dumb luck, But the character, what was his name?
Arkin.
Arkin, thank you.
Yeah. So
I'm pretty sure that's
he's a cool character. I like him.
Insect killing one, isn't it?
So
isn't Arkin an insect killing company?
No, you're thinking of Orkin.
Oh. I thought it was kind of ironic given he had that name and then the villain was part of the exterminators. But
close, but not quite. But he was a flawed character. He is a thief. He's been to prison. See, so that's where he's got his toughness.
And that's what I was getting ready to. Like, I was going to backtrack a little bit because we got right into the traps and the house. And, like, we didn't really...
But go ahead. With
so, that. But he's an ex-con. And he has a wife and a kid. And he meets his family in this house. And, like, we find out later that the only reason that he's working at the house, doing the work that he's doing at the house, is because he was...
rob the place.
What's the word I'm looking for? Scaping it, not...
Scoping?
Scoping it. Yeah. Just to see if he could find the what he was looking for.
The safe.
So, and the family doesn't know. And then he meets the little girl,
Hannah,
and she's like, let's have a tea party.
Yep.
And like a grown man with a little girl sitting down having a tea party. I mean, a lot of people would get the wrong idea of that.
And the dad kind of does.
And the dad walks in and he goes, what's going on here? Oh. And then Arkin's like, oh, well, I have a little girl her age. Oh, okay.
He even gives him a bonus.
Oh, and he gives him a bonus. And I'm just like, oh, that's what you're going to do? Oh, okay. Like,
to be fair, it is the truth. But
well, it was the truth. But, I mean, like, now...
I wasn't quite sure if Arkin was hallucinating or not with the spiders.
I don't...
It looks like not, but...
I don't think so.
Yeah,
that's just part of it. Because how much do we want to go to spoilers or who's who?
Well, spiders...
We pretty much already...
Well, we've already said the collector was the exterminator.
So we'll go into it. So if you go back to what you guys were saying about the collector putting in the traps beforehand, he wasn't spraying.
Yeah.
So the spiders and everything are going to be there. So that, to me, did make sense because it's like, okay, if you go with the theory of that, yeah, he was basically there scoping out the place too.
Yeah.
You know, even if he wasn't setting traps, he was seeing where he could
yeah, put them. Right. So, and like, even when Arkin was like, hey, there's a wasp mess. Like, he didn't really do anything. He was just like, you know, thumbs up. Like,
yep. And he had to get his attention twice because the first time the guy was just looked at him with a blank look on his face.
Yeah.
And then he had the wasp.
Well, I mean, like, you couldn't even tell that it was a blank look on his face because he was wearing the mask. So, I mean, it was just kind of like he was just looking at him. Yeah. I mean, you could guess that he probably had a blank look on his face because you couldn't tell for sure.
Oh, true.
But, you know, and so he did say it twice and he's like, there's wasp's nest there. And that's when he got the thumbs up.
Yeah.
And then that's when he goes and buys the teddy bear for his daughter.
Yep.
And
got it on recommendation of Hannah.
Yep.
Of Hannah.
He did.
And he meets his wife, and his wife goes, have the money?
Yeah, bunkers.
And I'm just like, at first I thought it was an ex-wife or an ex-girlfriend or something, and I thought that it was like child support money.
Yeah.
And then when you go to the scene in the kitchen, she goes, I owe these shark loans money.
Shark loans?
Or loan sharks.
We don't just have just the sharks, but we have shark loans too. Go for it, Jonathan.
Rent your own shark today.
I did. The shark got my tongue.
But yeah, you're right. She just went ballistic on it. I was like, I need money.
Or and she's it looks like that might not have had the best end for them either.
I think they just left.
Didn't it actually show them in a cage with the guy who was
Boss? Like a bus terminal or something like that is what I got. They were just leaving because never showed back up to pay the debt, so she was trying to get out.
Yeah.
Now, whether she got out or not, that's up to the viewer's imagination because it never shows her getting out per se.
Right.
But I felt like it was a bus station because the collector was always at the house.
It was right after we saw his boss-ish character again, though, so it was...
They might not have survived. I mean, you never know.
They were alive.
Because he didn't make it. Well, they were alive, true, but I'm saying
you gotta
make your own ending for his daughter and wife.
Yeah.
Because they don't clear-cut that one. This type of movie, you two liked... You are definitely liked.
I liked it.
I can watch it, but I cringe. And it's usually one time, and that's it.
Unlike me, because I'll watch it over and over.
It's just like,
it's
like, that's it. That's enough.
I mean, the only time that I actually cringed is when she was putting that...
The cockroaches in him?
No, not the cockroaches. Like, I didn't mind the cockroaches. I didn't mind any of the murder scenes. The thing that bugged me the most is when she was putting that collagen injection into her forehead. That's okay. What I was just like. Okay. But okay. Other than that, like, I was like.
The minuscule part. There we go.
Okay. I can do murder. I can do gore. I can do bloody. I can do beheading. I can do shots, huh? All that. But when it comes to needles and going in the skin, I cannot do it.
That's funny. That's good. But yeah, it's one that I can enjoy at the moment, but I'm still going to cringe. But it's not one I'll go back and watch because it's kind of like the slasher films, the Halloweens, the Friday 13th. I'll watch them and enjoy them at the moment, but most times I usually don't go back and rewatch unless it's with somebody that I just want to rewatch with. And that's just the way it is. There's some horror movies that I will rewatch. I like the more supernatural horror stories with like ghost or haunted house or some type of supernatural type thing element to it. You could say in a sense these do, because especially, you know, Michael Myers and Jason.
This guy gets hit by the chandelier full of knives.
Right,
he gets
now the up, collector character.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how lethal that would have been to him regardless.
Right, so. But what I was getting at is they kind of lent Jason and Michael Myers as more of a supernatural entity in the future films.
Uh-huh.
And if they continue on, I don't know if they will. We know
they're coming out
sequel.
With the new Halloween movie.
Well,
this
I'm
year.
Talking about Collector now. If they continue on collector with Collector.
Okay, I was going to be like,
if they continue on with the collection and collector with that character, will they kind of tinge him as a supernatural character too? But being so long now, I don't know if
they're not probably going to. Not the way.
Never say never, though.
The way that they ended collection, it's.
Okay. Haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Yeah.
So, but this is the way they ended it, it kind of pissed me off until I found out there was a sequel and watched the trailer. And I was like, okay, now you got to explain something to me. But okay, I can get behind it.
How did he?
Oh. Yeah, we already told him that he's in. So it's like he gets.
He gets him. What he gets the gal free, Hannah.
Yeah, he gets Hannah out. Hannah's, he escapes. Dumb idiot runs out in the middle of the road when a police cruiser is barreling down the road. Barely any space for them to stop because it is raining. Yeah. He's like,
you should have stayed on the side of the road for a bit.
And you thought you wouldn't get run into? Even if they slammed on the brakes, they're going to be sliding for a while because of the wet road. So it's like, oh, dude. Ah. And then they kind of alluded to the collector's getting the girl, but then it turned out to be a cop. It's like, okay, we're good. But then how the heck did the collector upend the ambulance? Spoilers, folks. If you didn't know, we were talking spoilers.
Yeah. We're talking about the last few.
Good night.
Apparently he
had. Done.
Well, that was escaped, from what I understood.
And I thought he blew up in the house.
Yeah, but apparently he came back with his exterminator truck and rammed that ambulance. Yes. And somehow that was enough to flip it over.
Yep, evidently.
That is a powerful truck.
So that kind of made me a little irksome because it's kind of like it's the trend now for the bad guys in horror movies to win more than the good guys. So it's kind of like, you know, occasionally I want the good guys to win too.
And he, he could have won at one point. Then, wait, the gal actually is still in the house. I'm going back for it. And he did get the gal out, which is great.
Oh, yeah, true. And he gets
he was pretty much out too, Ben.
Boom. Still, some of the bad guys are still dying, but the one iconic bad guy who has actually won, and for some reason I'm happy that he won, I'm not happy that he's running around in somebody else's body, is Chucky.
We're going to a different horror franchise now, folks.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
But it's just that, you know, to a degree, there is a survivor. And there was survivor in this. You got Hannah. Mm-hmm. So, yes. But when they came back and got Aiken, whatever the hell.
Arkin.
I don't know his name.
It's a letter off from Arkin.
That one just kind of like, you had a, of course, I guess they wanted the sequel that we've talked about. But it was just kind of like, if you were watching it as the movie when it came out back then, it was like, you had a good ending. You had a good lead character that thwarted the collector.
You could have had him being in the sequel, just he wasn't actually in the blast radius when it actually blew up, too, even without the whole.
Well, there is that, but it's too many times movies are made for sequels now instead of just let it be a standalone. You know, sometimes I wonder, like with Die Hard, great movie, but the sequels after that, it's like each one got progressively a little bit worse. Mm-hmm. I enjoy them. It's a good shoot 'em up. I love them to death, but the best one is always the first. Star Wars, Marvel, all of them to a degree have a little bit of fatigue to them at times because there's so much coming out and they make them for sequels. Some of them I'm into more than others, so that doesn't bother me as much. But sometimes you're just kind of like, oh, you had a good character. Let him win. Boom. Or what you said would have been more palatable than him getting captured at the end. But yeah, that's my feelings on the horror genre. And Jonathan's right. There are some that do.
And this one does have a coda if you want to watch the codas. Yeah,
it does have a coda.
A fair amount of movies have that, even if they aren't Marvel ones.
True. Marvel started that, I think, back in the day. I can't remember when Iron Man came out. I think
there's also a couple of funny little things in the credits.
Logan was wanting to bring those up because we were watching the ending credits to get the coda. You want to mention them, Logan? Just the some of the things that came out that we saw that was like, oh, that's kind of funny.
The ones we saw were the special no thanks. The guy who tried to blow up Joe's bar and whoever stole Karlak's watch. And there was also apparently a thank you to that guy who kept taping his face.
So, who knows? I don't know that reference.
We saw the special no thanks thing.
But, we were just going through. Sometimes there's some funny stuff in the credits. But what'd you think of the tortures? Were they unique enough? You've seen the Saw movies. Was it unique enough, separated from the Saw? Or
the thing is they weren't really Saw-like. The traps were more Saw-like than anything, but the tortures, the characters were, the mother and father were tied up. It was more of hostile than Saw. The thing that was more like Saw was when the guy, the boyfriend, fell into the bear traps.
Okay.
That was more of a Saw-like move for me than anything. But the rest of them were, for me, hostile.
From what I remember, Saw was all about, you are in this situation, and if you manage to get out of this alive, I won't kill you.
It's all a game, but they're all going to end up dead anyway.
Yeah, 90% of the time. But none of these things seem to really be a game type thing, or I'm actually deliberately leaving one way, however unpalatable, for you to survive thing.
What I would say is the second movie was more Saw-like than the first movie. Because...
Really? Okay, because it's more of a maze type thing.
It's more of a maze type thing. They have more characters and they have more intricate traps in it that kills the characters off.
It seems to be the guy's main base, so that would make sense too. If he's had more time to prepare and all that.
So I can pause it. I was trying to find out something. I had to take a moment to look up something for John because we mentioned the Saw stuff and that somebody was associated with it. One of the writers, Patrick Melton did contribute to some of the Saw movies. I'm not sure which ones. I know 3D was one of the posters that I saw, but he contributed to some of the Saw movies. So you can see his influence by writing the Saw movies, I think, kind of influenced this movie. And I don't know if he did the first ones, but I know he did at least Saw 3D, which I assume was the third movie. I don't know.
I think it was either the fifth or sixth movie.
Really?
Huh. Yeah. I believe it was the fifth.
It wasn't in
the final chapter?
I believe so.
Was it the final chapter?
I couldn't be for sure.
He must have been working on it close to the same time because it came out in 2010 and Collector came out in 2009.
Yeah.
So he contributed. So he would have been influenced possibly from Saw, the first ones, and that's the connection there. So there you go. There's the connection. I thought it was the director or a producer, but evidently it was one of the screenwriters.
Yep.
So that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking soft. Michelle's going to hate that. anything else we want to visit about this one? I think the tortures were pretty decent. The one I enjoyed the most, if you can enjoy it. Look, Jonathan can, though, folks. But the one that I was like, yes, I know what that one is. And that was when he had Arkin. Damn it.
It's a letter off from Arkin.
Yes, but I'm never going to get it. Sorry, guys. That's
Well, before, just a while ago, I was referencing him as
If you want to
exterminator thief, which he wasn't even an exterminator.
Go with Arkin. No, that's Arkham. Never
mind. Anyway, he's down in the basement. He's been captured. Logan kind of alluded to this earlier with the hooks. He's got fish hooks embedded in them. And the collector comes and has a jar of beetles, and they're burrowing type beetles, and he lights the fire underneath the jar and puts it up against the stomach.
Yeah,
and this is an old torture. Yeah, after making a cut. And this is an old torture technique. Yeah, that's what they would do to make the bugs eat into the person to torture them. So it's kind of like, I do know that one. Okay. Uh-huh. That's a kind of a, for all the, I guess, fancy and intricate devices he did, this was kind of like, ooh, he's going old school.
Yeah.
You know, so that to me was the most interesting aspect was that
one. He also literally tapped out one of his teeth.
Yeah, I was like, hey, that was another one. Like, oh god, I was like, these type of shows made me groan and grit my teeth. And
whereas I can watch them over and over. I'm the psychopath out of evidently, all three of us.
Evidently, but the acid, that one kind of confused me as a torture technique, because if it is there, maybe I'm just don't know. I'm not good enough in science to claim that I know anything, but it would eat flesh, but it wouldn't eat the floor.
There's some things that do something like that.
Do they?
Okay. I think there is some. I'd have to look it up. It looked
like it was kind of sticky, too.
Yeah, it looks sticky, so I have no clue about that. If that was realistic or not, you scientists can know that. I don't. Yeah,
that poor it
was
a cat.
It was cool. Yeah, the cat. That was a big, the sticky mouse traps. That's what would happen to the mice if you pulled them off that. It's like, what was he thinking? The cat's, well, I think at first he was thinking of saving the cat, but then at the end he was like, I got to use this cat to hide me. And that's what, but it was like, why is he, don't pull the cat off. But then it was like, oh, he's using it for that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it'd be a distraction. So he didn't get caught. So, but at the first I was like, man, he's one cruel dude, but he was just out for self-preservation, which sadly I'm afraid,
and he tried to rescue more than Hannah as well, but
true, he tried to save the mother and father, didn't quite work.
He tried to save Justine or whoever.
Lisa,
was that the daughter's
the
name?
Older daughter. Lisa.
And when he was trying to get her out, she was panicking and grabbed the trapped knife, scissors, and got herself killed that way.
Yeah, because she thought he was somehow involved with the killing.
Yeah, which
she would
it is kind of panicky, and I could definitely understand why, because why would he be there? He's actually trying to rob them, but
Again, this is a rated R movie, folks, so she was there with the boyfriend, and they got into the house. Again, the collector let them in. They were against the table, pretty much getting ready to have sex. So you do the
collector was just watching.
Then it goes from there. And this one, I don't know if... Does the second one give any behind the thoughts of the collector, or is just he for some reason likes collecting humans?
Yeah,
it does not. Okay. It is. Yeah. I'm like, nope. Even in the first one, it didn't really explain too much. Yeah.
That reminds me. The weakest scene I thought was really that first one that you saw the box at first, where he captured the old guy, because. Yep. He's going to look at the box. His wife, I guess, is behind him saying, we probably shouldn't do that. And then literally right next second, he's getting kidnapped.
True.
So that wife took him down with no noise at all.
And sometimes that can happen, but the opening was kind of, to me, a little bit, okay.
And then they come up with the opening music, and they have, towards the end of it, they have the... somebody, a guy screaming, and I'm just like, why didn't they just open with that instead of
what they did?
What they did.
Older couple. True. But the old man was in the house, though. So they did bring him back with the old man, or elderly man.
He gave us a bit of lore. He likes collecting people, and only one person per house survives for his
desires. So that's kind of weird, but it's an interesting movie, but I watch it my one time. Go from there.
I'll try and find the sequel.
I might watch the sequel possibly, but it'd be a one time.
It looks like it might
too.
Be more kind of like Resident Evil, kind of.
Oh.
As in the first movie. except for with traps instead of zombies.
Okay. I guess that works. But we're going to sneak off and do our tweets.
The sweet tweets.
We got a couple today. We got one from Austin Ward. We looked at a song that he did and put it up on our website called Bubble Gum. And it was a slow song, a slow dancer, you know, just kind of like, and it was a slow song for the slow dancing. So kind of a little bit to grab your partner and just slow dance with. The other one's from our author friend, Lauren Lynn. We did an interview with her, and it's, of course, been up for a little while. But, again, folks, these don't get up in any type of order, just whatever happens to get done. But just want to mention that she just wanted to say thank you to us and say you guys rock and love hanging out with Comic Pop Library. And she kind of promoted the interview that we did. So thank you to Lauren for doing that for us. Very neat that she did that. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so through the Twitter at Comic Pop Library. Look us up that way. Or through Facebook, same way, Comic Pop Library. And send us something. We'll get it read on a recording. And then also we have our email, which is admin@comicpoplibrary.com. I want to thank all the people out there that's got us on their podcatchers. Do appreciate that. Some of the newer ones that's come on here lately is Overcast, Radio Public, Lesson Notes, and CastBox. So thank you to them. And the others that we've mentioned in other podcasts for picking us up. Do appreciate all that and giving their listeners a chance to check us out. So thank you very much. Back to The Collector. It is a two-movie duology, I guess, unless they do, for some reason, down the road, make another movie. So like I said, you never say never in Hollywood.
Finding Dory. I think there was a decade between movies.
Well, and I mean, look, they're coming out with The Incredibles 2, finally.
Yeah, so you never say never. It could happen. So you can go back, check out The Collector. That is the first one. The Collection is the second one. They do have a Saw-esque vibe to them. You enjoyed this Saw. And Jonathan said if you enjoyed The Hostel, you definitely enjoy The Collector and The Collection. So that's kind of cool. And the villain, I thought, was a unique villain. I like the mask. They never showed the face, which I liked.
Yeah.
Because that kind of ruins it sometimes if you show the face.
Right.
So I enjoyed that they did not show the face of the collector. So kudos for that, at least. Because a lot of movies tend to, we got to see the face. No, you don't. That's part of the mystery. People's minds make up creepier and scarier stuff than what you could possibly do sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I did appreciate that aspect of the film. What do you guys think about collections? Whether it be a personal collection or a library. Since you're the fans of this.
So it's in libraries. This could be in the libraries easily then.
Well,
maybe a bit.
I think that smaller libraries could have it. Even if the bigger libraries did have it, they'd have to be careful because, you know, there are kids who are liking who do like horror movies. Well, this is definitely not a movie for kids who like horror movies. So even if the bigger libraries would have it, I think they would have to be careful with it. Because for me, this one is maybe 17 and up.
I would consider it to be less of a mature rating than The Puppet Master.
Really?
Yeah.
This one had more violence than The Puppet Master.
Oh. You want to go that way?
I thought. Sex was about even with the nudity and sex.
Well, I was thinking The Puppet Master had a bit of edge on that category.
No.
So there, but yeah, okay, that's an interesting one there, Logan.
Three or four scenes of edge on.
But I don't remember that many scenes of Puppet Master being sex related. Not sure.
It might be had breaks between it. That might be why I'm thinking three or four.
I'm talking about nudity and stuff like that and sexual situations with nudity. There's one per. So, but anyway, we're not talking about Puppet Master. Talking about Collector. Smaller libraries, I would say, could pass on it. Medium size, see what you think. Larger libraries, they usually get most everything that's popular at the time. To be honest, I don't know, even though I said Collector and watched it, I don't know if that's the one I'm thinking of when it came out, because I remember the advertisements vaguely, when it, but I don't know if it was
the collection. See, I don't remember the collector at all.
Okay, so maybe they put more emphasis on the collection.
So I think they put more emphasis on the collection because it had previews. I mean, previews were on TV. I don't remember ever seeing the collector in previews on TV.
Huh. And this one didn't feel like a major motion picture
release. It did not.
It felt more like a B movie.
Right.
And like I commented, a grindhouse movie. It had just that feel where the collection, just looking at the trailer on the collection, it looked more sharper, more finely tuned.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was, so I don't know. For anybody that watched the collection and like Jonathan didn't know there was a first movie, you might want to go back.
Collector exists.
And collect them. So, and if you're a horror film buff, you'll probably want that in your collection. If you like the Saw stuff in Hostel, it'll fit right beside those perfectly.
Like Jonathan.
Yep, there you go. He was so excited when he saw this. What was it? I don't know how many Saw movies in one pack. And he, he's like, oh my gosh, all of them right in one box.
But and I've watched him more than once.
So, if you enjoy what you enjoy, that's what it's all about. And have fun with it. Just leave it at that. Don't take it any further, please. I don't need to have any reports of anybody.
No. Don't want any instances. Well, of you this don't want to hear me say, happening.
"Game over."
Yeah. That is true. We do not. So there you go, folks. That's The Collector. We've been having fun here discussing it. Hopefully everybody out there has been having fun listening to us. We will catch everybody on the flip side. Bye now.
Bye.
See ya.
I can see it all so clear. In my mind, I have a feeling that I've got something to say. The tip of my tongue is burning. I've got a before it slips away. Frustration,
don't get the best of me.
I know that it'll come to me soon. Just gotta keep on waiting before it escapes completely. Give me a clue. What I'm trying to say, well, I don't know, but I thought it was important just a minute. I can see it all so clear. Please believe me.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.